In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called barren is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Well, I labeled or put the title on this sermon this morning from what we read in verse 37, "Nothing will be or nothing is impossible with God." So in the context of these verses, obviously God needed to prepare Mary for what she was going to experience. And he sent an angel to her by the name of Gabriel to announce and explain to her that she was going to conceive as a virgin and give birth to a son as a virgin. And who this son would be and who she should name him. And obviously, when he came into her presence, she was astounded by the salutation that he gave her, and she wondered, obviously, what's this about? And then he began to share with her, and he told her that she had found favor with God, or said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, let's go back for a moment to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah the prophet, chapter number 7, and then in chapter number 9, and we will read these verses from the prophet Isaiah, who God inspired to understand these things and to write about them in his book in the Old Testament. First of all, Isaiah 7, verse number 14. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." And we know that the name Emmanuel simply means God with us. Turn the page to Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7. "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Well, what the angel Gabriel is announcing to Mary is simply this: Mary, you are the virgin that Isaiah prophesied about when he wrote that seventh chapter. And the sign that you will be given is the one described in Isaiah chapter 9. That's why I called you the favored one. Out of all of the young maidens in the land, God has chosen you, Mary, for this purpose. And yes, he knows that you are a virgin. And the Greek word for that is parthenos. And it literally means one who has not experienced sexual intercourse. The Bible is very clear and precise about this and many other things. So there would be no confusion about it. And Mary was, I don't know what age she was, but I know that she was old enough and mature enough to understand how the normal process is for a woman to become pregnant and give birth to a child. And when Gabriel kept talking to her about this and telling her that she would conceive in her womb and bear a son and that she should name him Jesus, and explaining that he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Again, all of that was prophesied in the Old Testament, and we read about it again in Matthew chapter 1 in the New Testament. And he went on to explain to her that he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And so now, Mary, having heard all of this, again, her response is, how can this be, since I am a virgin? This doesn't happen to one who has acted with purity in her relationship with her fiancé, Joseph. She's simply saying to Gabriel, we have not done that which is the normal process for a woman to become pregnant and give birth to a son. How's this going to happen? I'm a virgin. And she was not convinced that it could happen or would happen. And so Gabriel continues to explain and says to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for this reason, the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God. And then he explains to her and says to her, even your relative Elizabeth has conceived a son. And he describes that as taking place in her old age. Mary was not old. She was old enough, but she was not as old as her relative Elizabeth. But he went on to explain to her, even though Elizabeth at one time had been called barren, now she is in her sixth month. And then he says these words, for nothing will be or nothing is impossible with God. Now, Mary, being the young Jewish maiden that she was, no doubt had been taught from her childhood about the Word of God, the Old Testament, and the things that it said. And I don't know, it's not recorded here for us, I don't know if she began to remember some of these miraculous things. And by the way, this was going to be a miraculous conception and a miraculous birth. Some want to call it by another name, but it was nothing less than miraculous. God himself was going to bring this to pass. It was going to be a unique event. And by that word, the word unique simply means one time, one occasion. That's the definition of unique. And so these words from Gabriel's mouth to Mary, when he said, nothing will be impossible with God, rang a bell with her. It rang true with her. I don't know if she at that time remembered about God and what the book of Genesis says about creation, that he literally spoke it into being. that he brought the whole universe into being out of nothing. And he upholds it with his mighty right hand. He is the one who created the heavens and the earth. He is the one who created all things. And that's only not impossible with God. No human being or no other force can bring that to pass. Maybe she even remembered about Abraham and Sarah and them being in their old age. I think Sarah may have been somewhere around 90 and Abraham 100. But God promised them a child. And when Abraham told Sarah about it, she laughed. She thought that was hilarious. I'm beyond time for that. And that's how Isaac got his name. Isaac, the name literally means laughter. And so God brought that to pass and gave them a son, and they named him Isaac. And it was through him that all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Maybe she remembered the story of Noah and the flood and how God destroyed the earth by flood, with the exception of Noah and his family. And God had him to build that ark for that purpose, to protect he and his family. And maybe she remembered the story of the Israelites when God brought them out of the land of Egypt, parted the Red Sea for them so that they could walk across on dry land. That was not impossible with God. Maybe she remembered the story of when he caused them to cross the Jordan into the promised land. Maybe she remembered the story when God gave them the victory at Jericho. The next city they went to, they had a problem because not everyone was obedient with the victory at Jericho, and God had to deal with them and deal with that for them to go on and enter the rest of the promised land and to overtake it. Maybe she remembered the story about Gideon and how God had already told him three times what to do, and yet Gideon wanted to question God and say, well, you know, maybe I'm not understanding this right. Let me lay out this fleece, and if you'll do this, I'll be convinced. And so he laid out the fleece, and God did what he asked, and he said, well, maybe that was just a coincidence. Let's do that again and reverse the process. And at that time, I wonder why God didn't just turn him over his knee and spank him and tell him, big boy, you just need to get on with what I told you to do and quit playing these games. But God was patient, and we're glad that he is. I'm glad that he is. He's certainly been patient with me, and that's part of what we can learn out of that. But nonetheless, God even had the pagans to share from their point of view what was going on. And it was then and only then that Gideon realized God's going to give us the victory just like he said he would. We've heard it from the mouths of the enemy. And so they moved ahead, and God did give them the victory. That was not impossible with God. Maybe she remembered the story of David and Goliath. David being a lad, a youngster, we don't know again the exact age, but Goliath was a giant. He was a big, bad, mean dude. And so David walks up, and all the leaders in Israel have cowered away from him and do not want to take him on. And David says something to the effect of, how dare that Philistine mock us, the people of God. And they tried to put on big, heavy armor on him and all that. And he said, no, I don't need all that. Just a few stones for my slingshot. And I know God is with me. And if the victory comes, it'll be because God gives it to me. I mean, all the odds were against David. And yet David stood courageously before the giant, and he slew him with that stone, and Goliath fell to the ground. That sounds a little gruesome, I know, but the rest of that story is David then went up to him and took a sword and cut off his head. How dare that uncircumcised Philistine mock us who are the people of God? God gave him the victory. That was not impossible with God. Maybe she remembered the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were ordered, they were in a foreign land, they were ordered to bow down to idols and worship them. And they said, we will not. And the threat came, if you don't, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace. And their response to that was, well, you just have to go ahead and throw it. God has told us not to worship idols and images. We're not going to do it. We worship the Lord our God and him only. And so the order was given, heat up the furnace. They heated it up a number of times hotter than it normally was, and they threw them in the fire. And then the one in charge looked in there, and it was like there was a fourth one in there walking about, and it was obviously the Lord, and he delivered them from the fiery furnace. That was not impossible with God. Maybe she remembered about Daniel when they threw him in the lion's den. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't care to cozy up with lions. they can do some damage. And but Daniel was one who was a man of faith. And again, he had bowed down as he normally does on a regular basis to pray to God, and they forbid him to do it, and he kept doing it anyway. His trust was in the Lord, not in what they would let him get by with if he quit that. No, his decision was, I believe in the Lord God Almighty, and I'm going to pray to him no matter what anybody says. And whatever they have to do to me, they'll just have to do it. My trust is in the Lord. And so he continued. And so they threw him in the lion's den. And God delivered him from the lion's den. That was not impossible with God. Maybe she had heard and remembered the story of Jonah and how he had been disobedient. God told him to go to Nineveh and what to say to Nineveh. And he said, Lord, I don't want to do that, because if I do, I know they'll repent, and I don't want them to do that. I'm not going. So he took off in the opposite direction. And God stirred up a big storm. And the other people on that boat said, we've got to find out what this is all about. And so they questioned him, and he confessed and admitted he was fleeing from the Lord. And if you throw me overboard, the Lord will quiet the storm. I'm the fault for this, because I'm disobeying him. And so they threw him overboard. And God provided a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And he was in the belly of that fish for 3 days and nights. Now, I hope when I get to heaven, I'll get to have a conversation with Jonah, and I'll ask him, what was the odor like in the belly of that fish? I bet that was pretty bad. And it actually took you 3 days and nights. I think I would have prayed a lot quicker than that. But it says, the Bible says, that he prayed to God, and God delivered him, caused the fish to vomit him up. And some children, when they're taught that lesson, and the teacher asks, well, what did you learn today? And some of them will say, well, I learned that people make fish sick on their stomach. But God delivered Jonah. That wasn't impossible for God. And so Mary, having heard these words, concludes What you have said to me, I now realize and understand. It is not impossible with God. And so she said in verse 38, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. That's what it took to persuade her. This concept that nothing is impossible with God. And after the Lord Jesus is born, and after he grows into a man, and he begins his ministry on earth at the age of 30, and went about ministry for 3 years leading up to his death, burial, and resurrection at the age of 33, he continued to perform many miracles. And we read about a number of those in the New Testament. We read where he healed a leper. We read where he healed a paralytic, where he healed a man with a withered hand, how he made the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, the blind to see. He healed a hemorrhaging woman who had been hemorrhaging for years. His first miracle was at a wedding, and they ran out of wine, and he turned water into wine. And from what I understand about that story, the latter was better than the former. And it was the custom in their day to give that which was not so good up front and save the better for last. But the Lord made sure that what he did was top prime stuff. He turned the water into wine. He walked on the water. And it wasn't because he knew where the rocks were. I've heard that 1,000 times. He literally walked upon the water. And when he was doing so, Peter questioned him, said something about, bid me to come to you. And Peter stepped out and started toward him. And as long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, everything was fine. But Peter got bum-fuzzled and took his eyes off Jesus and began to sink. And so Jesus grabbed him and they got back in the boat. There was another time when they were at sea and Jesus was down below sleeping and a great storm arose and the disciples were fearing for their life. And said, somebody's got to go down there and wake Jesus up and tell him what's going on. Otherwise, we can all die out here. And so they did, and Jesus quieted the storm. That was not impossible with God. There was another occasion the disciples were fishing, and they'd fished all day, hadn't caught anything. And Jesus said, well, I got the solution to this problem. All you got to do is cast your nets on the other side. And they did. And they pulled up a catch that almost turned the boat over. I mean, it was loaded. There's another occasion where we're told that Jesus fed 5,000 with just a few loaves and fishes. Not impossible with God. He had a friend whose name was Lazarus. And Lazarus died. And Jesus, like many of us do when we have a friend that dies, we go to the home and visit with those who remain or to the funeral home for that time and then for the family receiving and then for the funeral. Well, Jesus went to the home. And it was the brother of Mary and Martha. And one of them said something to the effect of, you know, Lord, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. And he went on to talk with him about that. But the end of the story is he raised Lazarus from the dead. And he went to the tomb and told them, roll back the stone. They said, no, Lord, you don't want to do that. He's been in there a few days now. He's going to smell terrible. Let's not do that. And the Lord said, move the stone. And they moved the stone. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. Because even that was not impossible with God. And you see, that's what he does with us who are his, when he calls us unto himself, because we are lost and dead in our trespasses and sins. And then the Lord comes along and says, well, you're one of mine, and I came into the world to save sinners, and you're certainly one of those. And so I call you out of darkness into my marvelous light. Stop unbelieving, but believing. Acknowledge, confess, and repent of your sins, and turn to me and believe in me, and you will receive forgiveness and life everlasting. And he calls us forth, and we come forth, because changing us is not impossible for God. So Mary submitted. She got it. She understood. Nothing is impossible with God. Yes, I'm a virgin. But if Almighty God says that I'm the favored one who was prophesied about in Isaiah, and this is what he wants to do in my life and through me, then who am I to say no to him? I am his bond slave or bond servant. He is the Lord my God, and we do not say no to him, because nothing is impossible with him. Mary got it. Well, there have been some things going on with us, and we can be reminded that we have on a number of occasions seen the Lord God Almighty do things in our midst and for us and in our lives, because these things have not been impossible for him. It was not impossible for us to become an organized ARP church just October of last year, when many thought maybe it was. It was not impossible for God to call and gift and have trained and examined and mentored and ordained and installed men to serve as elders in the church. That was not impossible with God. And I'll tell you something else. It's not impossible for God to call and raise up additional ones for the same work and ministry. I've got a friend, high school friend. Her name is Rachel Fern. We prayed for her. She was diagnosed with cancer. It was very critical. And one of her granddaughters earlier in the year asked, well, are you going to be able to attend my graduation? And basically at that point, she said, you know, I don't know. I hope I will be able to, but I don't know. And so a lot of people began, and we were part of those who prayed for her. And she began chemo and radiation treatment, and God blessed all of that. And she was able to attend the granddaughter's graduation. And she had missed a number of our high school breakfast meetings. We used to have one a month. Now it's about every 2 or 3 months. But there was a period of time in there when she was not able to attend any of those. And she contacted me in November and asked, when are we going to do another one? I think I could attend one this month, the week after Thanksgiving. And I said, well, good. We'll put that together and see how that works. And so I got the word out, invited to class. And sure enough, she was able to attend. She looked a bit white and pale. But nonetheless, was in good spirits and even shared with us, I know the day will come when I'll have to tell the doctors I don't want to receive any more of this chemo and radiation. They've already told me they cannot cure me. And I'll continue to take this as long as I'm able, but I know the day's coming when I'm just going to have to stop that, and the end is going to come, and I'm good with that. I know where I'm going. She's a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and knows to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And I can certainly understand that. I was sharing with some earlier this morning. Yeah, I know I sound a bit rough this morning and had to drink more water than normal. And I've had a terrible sinus infection this past week. And I felt so bad Wednesday and Thursday, especially Thursday. I didn't know if I was going to live to see Friday or not. And quite frankly, I hoped I wouldn't. I felt that bad. But it's not impossible with God to work in an old man's life, one who's almost, I'm closer to 79 than I am 78, to raise him up from that, put him in the pulpit on Sunday morning for him to continue to preach. And I'm glad and thankful for the opportunity. And I'm certainly thankful to be here. Not 100% yet, but I'm getting there. Because it's not impossible with God. And we've heard of how he has brought some of our family members through surgery even this past week. We had prayed that they would get through it safely. What was desired would be accomplished. And the report has been, or reports have been, that that is exactly what has transpired, because these things are not impossible with God. We've been praying for an 8-year-old who has been having difficulty and got the word of improvement for her just this morning. These things are not impossible with God. There are others who have had surgery and have recovered, and some back with us today for the first time, for which we are very thankful, because that improvement is not impossible with God. Some of us have lifelong friendships. I've got a very dear friend, and we've been friends since the first grade. That's a long time ago. That's what I call a lifelong friendship, a number of those. And I'm so thankful and glad for that. We had a problem this year. We were, as it turned out, falsely accused by another session in the ARP church. And it took us about 6 months to work through that with our presbytery and its investigation committee and the presbytery meeting, but we were cleared of the charges that were brought against us simply because that was not impossible with God. Spiritual growth and numerical growth took place in our midst in the year 2022. Not impossible with God. Do you realize that we added 11 new members in the year 2022 and for a small church? I think that's simply because it's not impossible with God. He's the one that brought it to pass. I was amazed that I was invited to preach at the Wilkes Revival, tent revival meeting back in May. About a dozen Baptist churches and their pastors put that together. And I have attended some of those meetings and was invited to preach that Tuesday night. I just stood amazed at that. I mean, they've never heard me preach before. They know I'm a Christian. I don't hesitate to tell them that and tell them even how that came about. But that's about all they knew about me, and that I'm a Presbyterian preacher. And some of them, when they say that, kind of say that word with a big smile on their face as if to say, that's you, not me. But Nonetheless, I was invited and the Lord enabled me to do it, and I'm thankful for it. I'm glad for the opportunity. A couple of things that some may have thought was impossible for God, but proved not to be. The reopening of North Wilkesboro Speedway. And you say, preacher, that's not very spiritual to mention that in a sermon. Well, there were a lot of people that didn't think it would happen. But again, it was not impossible with God. He brought it to pass. And at least Randy and I are thankful that he did. And Dale and Carol and some others have been there too. And we're glad and thankful for that. We had a couple of ladies traveling this past week, and we prayed for them for their safe travel. And the Lord brought that to pass for Joyce and Helen, because it's not impossible with God. Now, in closing, I want to say this. Whatever you're facing in life or will face in life in the days ahead, you and or your family and or your friends, realize that whatever it is not impossible for God to work in that situation to bring to pass what's pleasing in his sight and what's best for you and for yours. We should pray about these things. Absolutely. We should not worry or fret about them, because the Lord tells us, cast all of your anxiety upon me because I care for you. But know this, Almighty God can work in the most horrible, terrible situations and circumstances to bring about good things. Even what might seem impossible to us, as it did to Mary in the beginning of the conversation, even her question, how can this be? But then the Lord convinced her, it's not impossible with me. I can do miraculous things in the lives of people, and you just need to trust me for the impossible. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer.